Good morning.
Okay, so I'm Chloe Baburka. I've been going to this church for about 15 years now. So I was like 4 when I first started coming in our old church on Kearney. I just graduated last year, and since then, I've been up to a couple of things. So I wanted to share about where I've been over the past couple of months and where I feel the Lord is leading me next. So last September, I left to go to Lakeside, Montana with an organization called YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, which is a missions organization. And I did an entry-level school there, which is called a DTS, which stands for Discipleship Training School. This school is about 5 months long, and it's broken up into 2 different sections. So the first section is 3 months long, and that's a training section where we learn about God, who God is, why we follow him, and why we want to go out and share that with others. And then the second section of that school is actually going out and sharing. So the first 3 months is broken up into 12 weeks, which are broken up into 12 different topics. So these topics were like God's character and nature, hearing God's voice, forgiveness and repentance, and each week we really deep dive into those topics. The most impactful week for me was spiritual authority week, where I learned how to submit to God. I did not know that there were so many things that God wanted that I was not giving him. So that was a real challenging week for me, but it was so growing. And so after this training section, I had the privilege of going to both Thailand and Cambodia on a 2-month outreach. So this is my outreach team. We were a team of 12 plus a baby. And we went to Bangkok, Thailand for 6 weeks and Siem Reap, Cambodia for 3 weeks. So in Thailand, we had a lot of awesome opportunities, mainly teaching English. We were able to go to an English school called The Place of Grace. It's a really awesome school because Thailand is mainly Buddhist. This is a Christian English school. So we were able to go in there and just be a part of what they were doing. The best thing for me being a part of this school was seeing the teachers. One of the teachers that I got to work with would pray for the students before they would start their tests. And it was like a routine for the students to go up to their teacher, and he would lay their hands on them and bless their mind, bless them, bless the test that they were about to take. That was so cool for me to see. We were also in Thailand over Christmas, which was really interesting to be in 90-degree weather over Christmas. So we did a lot of like VBS type ministries in the slums of Thailand. So these are really impoverished areas. We were able to go in and just be a part of a ministry that was already there. We got to work with these really awesome people from Ireland who had been living in Thailand for 30 years. They raised their kids there. So that was just awesome to work with them. They had so much passion for their ministry and for Thailand in general. So that's one of my teammates up there dressed up as Santa Claus in 90-degree weather, so props to him. That was really challenging. We were also able to lead worship on Christmas, which was really cool. It was definitely weird being away from family that day, but our team kind of became our family, so it was really awesome. In Cambodia, we had similar opportunities. A lot of it was impromptu, like English teaching. I got to teach a dance class, which if any of you have ever seen me dance, not a pretty sight, but it was really fun to just like put myself out there and do it. A lot of it was just like, Chloe, we need you to teach this class. And you just kind of have to go in and hope for the best. The translators were so awesome. And so that was one of the coolest opportunities ever. We also got to teach the teachers. So this was really interesting. These kids are 13 to 16 years old, and they are teaching English to kids that are 10 and younger. So to be able to go in after their classes that they would teach and teach them was amazing. We got to play games with them. We also got to share our testimonies and just, you know, why we follow Jesus, which is really cool. Cambodia is also primarily Buddhist, so this particular school is Christian. It's actually kind of like a garage, and it's also a church. So we got to go to that church the Sundays that we were in Cambodia. So over this time of being away from home and wanting to grow, I really wanted to fall in love with God's word, and it was my biggest prayer. I said, God, I really want to like reading the Bible. It was such a challenge for me for so long to sit down and read. I didn't understand why I needed to read the Bible or how the Bible applied to me or why it was important. So it was my biggest prayer. I just wanted to sit down and I wanted to want to read the Bible. So I felt challenged before I left for Thailand and Cambodia to read the whole Old Testament, which I was a little bit doubtful that I could do it. I was kind of like, God, that's a lot of laws and like numbers. But I felt like the Lord kind of said to me, do you want to know me? Then you need to know my word. And so every morning I would sit down and I'd make coffee and I would read the Bible. And that's where I really fell in love with God's word. And I feel like I grew a passion for God's word. And so the next step for me, I feel like this process of just taking these little steps of like, okay, I'll read and I'll go to this program and I'll do this thing has led me to an SBS or a School of Biblical Studies, which is a 9-month missionary training school, which really deep dives into the Bible. We read all 66 books 5 times through and study each individual book for who wrote it, who it's written to, and how we can apply it today. We use a hands-on study method to really learn the Bible and really understand the Bible so that later we can go out and do other ministries and travel or do whatever the Lord's calling us to do. I'll be honest, I don't know long-term what my plan is. I know that this is my next step, and I'm okay with that. I'm just gonna work over the summer and head to Montana for 9 months in September. So that being said, I would love your support in that, mainly in prayer. I would love prayer for my heart to be open for what God has for me during this school, to be ready to learn, be ready to study, and be equipped for whatever the Lord has for me long-term in my life. If that be going back to Thailand, going back to Cambodia, or going somewhere else, I want to be equipped for what God has for me. As well as, I would love to ask if you would financially support me, if you feel led. The price of the school is $10,500, which covers everything. It's just a flat check at the start of the school. It'll cover food and housing, as well as the education. So although I will be working and I have been working, I know that I can't make it without your help. So if you would prayerfully consider supporting me in that, I would really appreciate it. Today you can give through the church, but I also have a link on a little card that I have out there at the table that will bring you to my personal account, and all of it will go towards tuition. So yes, I feel like big calls need big faith, and so this is my faith right now. So that is all I've been up to, but as I was praying about coming up here this morning, I wanted to leave the church with something that's really encouraged me over the past couple of months. So one of the main teachers in our school would always tell us that our success is not measured through our material possessions or how much money we make. Our success is measured through our simple obedience. And he would always end his encouragements with, your success is measured through simple obedience. Remember that. Remember that your success is not measured through what you do. It's measured through, are you doing what God's telling you to do? And so this reminds me of a verse in Matthew. It's Matthew 6, 26 through 30. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why be anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And this verse really stuck with me because I don't always know what God is saying. And it's hard because I feel like I always think in leaps and bounds, like, what's my long-term plan? Where am I going? God, what do you want me to do with my life? But sometimes it's like, who am I supposed to talk to at Walmart? Like, who am I supposed to approach in the parking lot? Or who does he want me to call this morning? Or what relationship does he want me to, like, mend, you know? And so I wanted to encourage everyone this morning that sometimes it's not always about those big steps and those big leaps in life. Sometimes it's about our simple steps of obedience that can lead us to the bigger leaps, the bigger steps. And God is in those little details. He's in the grass that is here today and is gone tomorrow. And he's in our little details too. And so I always remember just like, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies in the fields and how they grow. How much more does he care about you? How much more is he a part of your life and in your circumstances, whether they be big circumstances or little circumstances? So, I just wanted to leave you guys with that. Pray about today. What simple acts of obedience is the Lord calling you to do? So thank you so much for allowing me to come up here. A lot of you guys have seen me grow up, and it's such an honor to be standing in front of you this morning, just sharing about what I've been doing and where I feel the Lord is leading. So I'll end in prayer, and thank you again. Lord, thank you so much for being in the details of our lives and for working through these simple steps of obedience to lead us to our bigger leaps and bounds, Lord. I thank you for this building. I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you and to hear your word this morning, Lord. I pray that you would speak to each and every single one of us and that you would be in our lives this week, that we would hear from you clearly. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you. Beautiful. We are going to take an offering for Chloe right now. So if the ushers would come forward. When I was youth pastor, we sent several kids on YWAM mission teams. They all came back with interesting stories. How was YWAM? I said, well, youth without a meal, youth without money, youth with a mission. So they got some great stories. And when Chloe comes back after that time, ushers, would you come up and we'll take the offering this morning. And let's pray for Chloe right now and that God would just prepare the way for her. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful for the testimony of a young lady who was called, Lord, to serve you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her in her mind and her soul and her spirit and her body, Lord, that you would prepare the way in this summer, that the money she needs to raise would be raised, Lord, and that this would be such an incredible experience, not just for the experience sake, but Lord, preparing for what you have for her in the future. We know she's going to be blessed, but we know she's going to bless many others as well. So with an offering this morning, Lord, to help her get going on that, we commit it to you. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of that ministry and to partner with her with our prayers and with our encouragement as well as with our finances. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Are you ready for the word this morning? Well, a couple of you are. That's good. Title of the message is, He's God and We Are Not. Everyone say, He's God and we are not. One thing we need to understand, church, when we talk about the principles of living for a Christian, it really begins and I think quite frankly ends with God's word. And I think that's as it should be. God's word, it's a book about God. It's a book about the things that he's doing in our hearts and in our lives. It's the answer, I think, to the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which reminds us, you and me, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You and I were made for God. We're made to know God. We're made to serve God. We're made to love God. And we're made to live forever with God. I love what Augustine said. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, Lord. And so we're made to glorify God. And in that act of bringing glory to him, we will enjoy him forever. It's a fundamental truth, the title of the message. He is God, and we are not. There's nothing more basic than that. All spiritual reality begins with this truth. And if we skip it, if we ignore it, if we don't grasp it, then nothing else in life is going to really make a lot of sense for a Christian. There are so many scripture verses in the Bible that really show and really demonstrate and really prove that he's God and we're not. Just a couple of them, Job 23:13. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. Job knows something. He can't demand anything from God, and he knows that he doesn't have the strength himself or the power to change his awful circumstances. Only God. He can't even demand a hearing from God and ask him why. God does what he wants, and Job is not going to oppose him. And so it is with anyone in this world who comes against God, who denies what he's doing, who would raise their fist against God. Job says, listen, God stands alone, and nobody can oppose him. Job 42:4, I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. If you know the book of Job, this is right at the end of the book. He's gone through all those horrible things. And he's been questioning God, and he's been, in some ways, making accusations against God. He wants answers, and he wasn't getting answers. God has been silent up until this portion of Scripture. And then God gives Job a theology lesson. And then he gives him a final exam. And you know what? Job flunks the exam miserably. He couldn't answer a single question. And now he humbly confesses, God, you are all-powerful. You do what you want. You do what's the best for us, and no one can stand against you. But what does that confession do? It leaves Job to repent of the attitude that he had in his questioning of God's plan. Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Is that hard to understand? No. Listen, the Bible is not hard to understand. If you commit yourself to looking in God's Word and asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten it, he will always do that. Clear enough. Psalm 135:6, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths. If you read through Psalm 135, you'll see that the writer goes on to give us proof that God does what he wants. In verse 7, it says that he makes the clouds rise in the sky. Verse 8, he sent down all the plagues on Egypt to deliver his people from bondage. Verse 9, he sends signs and wonders. Verse 10, he strikes down others. And when it comes to a call for everyone to praise the Lord. Skip ahead to Daniel chapter 2. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever, wisdom and power of his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light dwells in him. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream, and all of his magicians and seers could not interpret it for him. But somebody mentions Daniel's name, and he calls Daniel forth, and Daniel reveals the interpretation to him. That's who he goes to, the one who's a prisoner, the one who's been despised, the one who's been aside. And church, listen, there's going to be times that people know that you have a faith in God and that you lean on him. When hard times come, many times in their life, they're going to talk to you, they're going to call you, they're going to ask you, how can you maintain peace in the midst of the struggles? How can you maintain the joy in your heart when things are just not going very well? And you'll have an answer, right? Be ready always to have an answer of the hope that lies within you. God orders the times and the seasons. Listen, he raises up leaders and he takes down leaders. I'm going to make a statement today that's going to be hard to accept, but it's true. Anyone who is in power today is either because God has ordained it or God has allowed it. And you need to believe that, not just because I say it, because it's the Word of God. The Bible says he orders the times and the seasons. I like the phrase that he knows what lies in darkness. God sees the hidden things because darkness is not dark to God. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that God doesn't see. If you and I think that we can do things that God doesn't know or doesn't see or doesn't care, we're deceiving ourselves. The Bible says evil people love darkness because they think it hides their evil deeds, but the truth is it doesn't hide anybody's evil deeds. God knows everything about everything, and he knows everything about everybody. And listen, that should bring joy into your life. God knows every detail of your life. He knows everything you've gone through, everything you're going through, everything you're going to go through. And he promises that he's going to be with you through every part of that. even when you were conceived, even when you were being knit together, it says in Psalm 139, in your mother's womb, God knew you even when you were in your mother's womb, and he had a great plan and a great purpose for your life. Isn't that great news? And he still does. He still does. Remember that part of that story in Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar goes out and he starts looking at all the amazing things of what are going on in the land of Babylon, all the beautiful buildings and palace and all these things. And he says, wow, look at me, basically. Look at all that I've done. This is all about me. People worship me. And when he did, the Bible says God struck him with a kind of insanity that made him think that he was a beast in the fields, and he was there for 7 years. If you remember the story, he lived like the wild animals. And when he finally turns his heart towards God, his sanity, the Bible says, was restored. And look what he writes. This king of the most pagan nation on earth in Daniel chapter 4. At the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the God of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. An amazing statement coming from Nebuchadnezzar. Listen, people, every ruler, every kingdom, every person, everyone is going to make that confession someday. Everyone is going to bow before God and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I want to do that now, don't you? I want to do that willingly. I want to do that because I have a heart that is thankful to God for all that he has done for us. Pray for those in authority over this country and this state. Why? Because I say so? No, because the Bible says, pray for those in authority over you, that God would come in and give them wisdom and humble their hearts and humble their minds. Listen, even the greatest human rulers are nothing compared to God. No one can question what God, everything God does is right. And the Lord knows how to humble the proud. It would be hard to find a clearer statement of this truth, this fundamental truth, than in Romans chapter 11. I love this portion of Scripture. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, church, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. He's God and we're not. Look at Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That is an awesome truth. It's part of a long sentence, and it begins with the words, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 3. And then verse 11, Paul is praising God for choosing us in Christ according to his plan. You might translate it like this. He arranged everything so that all things are working out just as he planned long ago. Again, one of the sections of the Westminster Confession of Faith says, God ordains whatever comes to pass. Tony Evans, if you remember that name, has said it like this. Everything in the universe is either caused by God or allowed by God. That is not easy to take sometimes, is it? Listen, nothing ever just happens. Nothing is caused by someone or something outside of God's knowledge and control. Some things he directly causes, other things he allows to happen. But all things in heaven and on earth, even things that have happened in hell, even the very acts of Satan are controlled by God. Isn't that amazing? I like what Martin Luther said. He called the devil God's lapdog. I like that. When I was at university with my wife, or last year, I was taking a night class, and I had to walk down this road, and there was a place like this was a sidewalk down below here. This was the landscaping of this house, and it's just getting dark. And as I'm walking past this house, I hear this growl. I mean, a loud growl. And I looked up over the top of that, and here comes this German Shepherd dog snarling. I mean, he's coming right at me. And I'm like, ah, I'm frozen. He gets about 5 feet away, and he takes a leap, like a leap. And I was just frozen. And what I didn't see was he had a chain on his neck, and when he got about 5 feet away, snap, it jerked him back, and down he went. And then I was mad. And I said a few things to the dog. I won't tell you what I said to him, but I said a few things to him. But I thought about that at some point in time. I thought, that's really, you know, the Bible says Satan goes about like a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is. So he tries to scare us. He is like that dog or like a lion who comes after us, but God holds the chain. Nothing he can do to you that God won't take care of and watch out for. He's God's lapdog. Revelation 19 says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory.'" That's the conclusion of the statement that God runs the world, God runs the universe. Let us rejoice and be glad. We should rejoice, people, because God is in control. And when he returns to the earth, the whole world will clearly know what we know right now by faith. And that is this: the Lord reigns. Everyone say, "The Lord reigns." Huh? We sang the song, didn't we? He reigns over all things. He reigns in every situation. He reigns in the best and the worst that happens to us. He reigns over his friends and he reigns over his enemies. He reigns in heaven and he reigns in hell. He reigns over those who doubt him and he reigns over those who deny him. He reigns over those who follow other gods and other religions. The truth is, the Lord reigns. The world doesn't see it now, but sometimes you and I might have trouble believing it because we don't see it either. But the truth remains, it will not be changed. The Lord reigns. And because of that, it's always time to praise the Lord. When we consider all these incredible verses, one thing stands out, and it will not be ignored. One thing that you and I need to get deep down into our heart every time the writer listens to me, every time the writer speaks of God's control, it always leads them to praise the Lord. He does what he pleases. Praise the Lord. No one can oppose him. Shout for joy to the Lord. Everything God does is right. Hallelujah. How unsearchable is his wisdom. To God be the glory forever. His plan is working out perfectly. Praise be to God. The Lord reigns. The Bible says the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. It was a great song. That truth should fill our hearts. If it doesn't, then either we don't understand what the Bible says or we're choosing not to believe it. But even if it's true, the truth remains, it will not change. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So that's what we mean when we say he's God and we're not. God is the creator, we're his creatures. That still might be one of the most fundamental principles in our entire spiritual life. And until we understand this and submit ourselves to it, nothing in life is going to make sense or work out right. Every mistake, listen to me, every mistake that you and I have made comes as a cause of forgetting who God is and who's not. The very first sin in the universe happened because Lucifer, an angel created by God who later became Satan, forgot who was God and who wasn't. Maybe you don't remember those verses from Isaiah 14. This is Satan, or speaking of Satan. You said in your heart, "I will ascend to heaven. I'll rise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend up the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." What stands out to you in those verses? I will. The world says today, "I will." God says, "We'll see." Listen, if you and I decide to play God, we try to run our own little portion of the universe, we're going to be in big trouble. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things, it doesn't say for all things, right? Doesn't say for all things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So here's a question for you to contemplate. Here's a question for you to take home with you, a question to ponder. What does it mean for you to say the Lord is sovereign and reigns in my life? What are some of the positive and negative events in your life that have worked together for good in your personal life? Think about that this afternoon. We talk a lot about freedom in this country, and I want to close with this little portion and some things that I want you to take home with you. You know, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Listen, we love to hear about the freedoms that we enjoy in Christ. The interesting thing is that although we talk a great deal about freedom, it's usually our personal freedom that we have in mind, don't we? We rarely think of God's freedom. If that's the major point of the scripture passages that we read, when you come to the bottom line, we know that it's God's freedom, and the freedom is the only freedom in the country. Every other freedom is derived from his freedom one way or another. Here's what I want to leave you with, 7 short statements. They're in your bulletin, and they'll be up on the PowerPoint. Because God is God, he is absolutely free to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. If he wants to create a planet or a galaxy or even another universe, he just says the word and it happens. He's truly free in the absolute sense of the word. Remember what he announced to Moses when Moses said, who am I going to say is going to send me? He said, I am that I am. Don't forget it, church. God is eternal, self-existent, absolutely self-sufficient. He exists entirely apart from the universe and all that he created. Don't let people try to downplay what the Bible says. Believe it. I've had somebody say to me one time, well, you know that story about Jonah and the whale? It doesn't say the whale, it says a big fish. And you know that science has shown there's not a fish big enough that can swallow a human being whole. I said, well, so what? God created the universe. Right? Couldn't he create at one moment in time a fish big enough to swallow Jonah and then spit him out? He's God, right? That doesn't throw me for a loop at all. That's the God we serve. Number 2, God has the right to deal with me and you any way he chooses. By this, I mean God was under no obligation to create me or you. And he is not obligated to keep us alive for even one more second. He's under no compulsion to save a single member of the human race. No one has a claim of God. Listen, he did everything that he could do to reach out to you and me. He's God. Number 3, God doesn't have to treat me the same way he treats my next door neighbor. Oh, many people struggle with this because they think that, well, what God did for this person, then he needs to do that for me too. What God did for this loved one, he needs to do for me. God is bound to do the same thing. No, he's not, friend. He doesn't work that way. Listen, I know this is hard. God can deliver someone that you know from cancer. Or maybe you or somebody else that you know may die of the same disease or vice versa. Envying your neighbor because he has something that you don't is a waste of time, as well as really a violation of one of God's basic commandments, because God treats us as individuals and not groups. Truth is, he might do exactly for you what he's done for someone else, or he may do more, or he may do less. He might do something entirely different. He's God. He's creative. He can deal with us any way he wants. 4, God doesn't have to treat me today the way he treated me yesterday. Listen very carefully to this. I don't want you to misunderstand it at all. God's character never changes. Remember that. God's character never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always gracious. He's always kind. He's always loving. He's always forgiven. He's always perfect, and he's always just. His ways are perfect. But that doesn't mean that what happened to me yesterday is a pattern or a guarantee of what's going to happen tomorrow. God's character and his love for me, his love for you, will never change. God will always love you, always care for you, always reach out to you, always be there for you. But how that love is expressed can widely vary from one moment to the next. One day, God might give you or me a remarkable answer to prayer. The next day, we might be in the valley of suffering, waiting for the Lord to deliver or do anything good in our lives. He's always the same God, but he doesn't always display himself in life the same way all the time. Number 5, God can answer my prayer and yours any way he chooses. Anyone who has prayed very much understands this truth. Remember in the Bible, one day, the disciples had been out fishing all night long. Didn't catch anything. Next day, God says, put your nets over there on the other side of the boat. And they were filled to overflowing, almost sunk the boat. God's followers might be in prison one night, as we read in the Bible. And an angel might come and set them free. Or maybe God will send an earthquake to deliver a person like he did in the book of Acts. Or maybe that person will die in prison, as many Christians have over the years. Loved one with a dreaded disease might live for several years, only to die from the disease eventually. One day I might sense God's Spirit working in my life powerfully. The next day I might feel like I'm just plodding through life, barely able to negotiate one step at a time. So it goes for all of God's children. Our God is infinitely creative in the way that he deals with you and me, in the way that he wants to bring you and me into spiritual maturity. We know this, don't we? There are going to be some bright days, there are going to be some dark days. The truth is, God knows them all. 6, God will not tolerate any rivals to his throne. That's the clearest, one of the clearest things in the Bible. There's only one God, and he's the only one that we worship. After reminding the Jews that he delivered them from Egypt, God made his first commandment. Very first one. You shall have no other gods before me. I think that's pretty clear. And the truth is, anything that we put in place of God or above God is false worship. There's only one God, and he wants our loyalty, and he wants our worship. And then finally, 7, God is not obligated to live up to my expectations. He's not obligated to explain himself to me. Maybe that's one of the most important statements about God's freedom. He doesn't have to do what I expect him to do. You read through the Bible. God is constantly surprising people from beginning to end, isn't he? He casts Adam and Eve out of the garden and makes clothes for him. He sends a flood and gives Noah a rainbow for assurance. Pharaoh's coming after the children of Israel. They think they're lost. God parts the Red Sea and then closes it up. Then he provides manna and quail. Remember when Jesus rebuked Peter and then allowed him to see the transfiguration? And then he predicts his betrayal and then restores him and then predicts the way he's ultimately going to die. Everything happened just as God said it would. Nothing worked out the way most people expected. He is a God of great surprises. He really is. You know what, friends? God doesn't have to explain himself to you or me. Listen, there's a lot of questions. If you've lived life for very long, you know that there's a lot of hard things that we just don't have answers for. I remember talking to Dan Piantine, who's the founding vision for Camp Daniel, who lived to 22 years old. Doctor said he wouldn't live past 9, but he had the vision for Camp Daniel. And he said to me, one thing I've learned in my relationship with God, he said, there's a lot of questions that we can ask, but there's only one that he reserves for himself. We can say, Lord, what do you want me to do? God, how can I get through this? Lord, when do you... He said, I just can't ask the why question. See, God reserves that for himself. He doesn't have to explain himself. If he tried to explain why things happened exactly at that moment, we wouldn't get it anyway. I got a lot of questions, and so do you. I think I've shared this with you before. I know someday, with all my questions, that I think in eternity will get answered. When I stand before Jesus Christ, and he looks at me and says, hey, Jerry, any questions? Not a one. Not a one. Let me read a scripture to you. I'm just going to skip to this one, and then I'm going to close it right here with this. This is not one that I have for the PowerPoint. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I thought about this last night as I was looking at the message. I thought, I want to close with this. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the great love chapter. Let me read it from a modern version. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. It says, when I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I put those infant ways behind me for good. We don't yet see things clearly. Well, it's like we're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears, the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. Just see it as clearly as God sees it, knowing Him just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that end. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the greatest of these is love. God calls us to love those that He puts in our path. We are to be instruments of peace, instruments of truth, instruments in God's hands to reach out to those who are lost. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Father God, we are so, so thankful. When we read the Word from beginning to end, even though there are some tough things in there, maybe some hard things, Lord, the truth is, it's a plan that You have for our life from the very beginning. And some of us may have strayed from that plan, but Lord, You are always there to bring us back. You're always there to get us refocused. You're always there to forgive and restore. What an amazing God You are. If we confess our sins, You are always faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. Can I have you just keep your heads bowed for a moment, and I'm going to close with prayer here after the worship team does a song for us. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally. I know some of you. I'm getting to know my wife and I more of you each week, but I don't know all of you. We have no guarantees of tomorrow. I think every major biblical prophecy has been fulfilled before the coming of Jesus Christ. And the question is, if He came today, would you go to heaven? You can know that. You can know that. All you need to do is ask Jesus to come. He's always there reaching out to you to forgive, to restore. And if you struggle with that, you don't really know, but you want to know, God, I want to know You personally. I'm just going to ask, just for a second, I just want to pray for you before we close. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, really, I really would appreciate you praying for me before you close. Yeah. Yes, sir, you can put your hand down. Thank you. See, God's, you're not doing that for me. You're doing it for God. It's between you and Him. Anyone else? Let me say, Pastor, I've really been struggling with trusting God. There have been some things happen in my life and my family, my workplace, all these things. And I've really been struggling, but I want my trust to be built higher. I need to trust Him more. And I've heard the message today, and I really believe the Spirit is speaking to me to really make that move towards God. I need to trust Him more in every day of my life, and You'd like me to remember You in prayer. Just raise your hand, and I'll pray for you too. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, there's hands going up all over. Sure. Sure. So many of us struggle with that. Father, in Jesus' name, to raise a hand is one thing. But Lord, all You do is look deep into our hearts. And if we'll just say, even in our spirit, God, I ask You to forgive me. take my life that I maybe have messed up and make it something beautiful. That's what you do. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive my sins, that you would just complete every part of my life that needs completion. I just commit myself to you, Lord, today, Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you providing for eternity for me. And Lord, for those who struggle in their faith, struggling because circumstances have been so, so difficult, Lord, I pray that you would just renew their spirit today. I pray that you would just take the truth that you're God and in control and we're not. And just, Lord, help us to be able to trust you, to lean upon you, let our hope rise from you. And even though circumstances don't make a whole lot of sense right now, Lord, we know you're working out a plan and a purpose for our lives. Help us through the struggles. Keep us focused, Father. Help us not to give up. Help us never to give up, but to keep moving and moving and moving. And Lord, you'll help us every step of the way. Father God, we love you and we praise you and we are thankful, eternally thankful and grateful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. God bless you.